The Sports Cage Podcast is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse. With amazing specials on food and ice-cold beer, there's no better place to watch your favorite sports.
Good afternoon, Saskatchewan. It's the Friday edition of the Sports Cage here on 620 CKRM, coming at you live from on location at the Brandt Center, where tonight the Regina Pats will face the Edmonton Oil Kings. We'll talk a little bit of hockey a little bit later on in the show, but it is a Football Friday, brought to you by Nelson Home, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. Brendan McGuire with you, along with Bob Krawchuk. Nice to see you. It's been a while.
It's been a while. Brendan, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Killer Bees. Yes. With you today. Try not to get
good
stung.
Good way to end the week.
You know, I was thinking about this when I was coming down today, and I remember working at a certain media outlet, and you worked at a certain media outlet about a dozen years ago, and I was a snot-nosed little kid who was, I remember I used to get into all these confrontations in the media scrums with Danny Barrett, and all these memories were coming back. But I remember when I was a kid, this will make you feel old, I remember watching you on global television, and there, I think it was you, who you were doing the end of a game, and the uprights were in behind you, and the game was still going, and you said, the game is tied, and you're giving, like, all the highlights, and then the football's going behind you. Was that you?
I don't think so. I remember specifically doing something from the end zone one time on a very windy, rainy night.
Yeah.
And
that was when there actually was wind at Taylor Field for dear life. Yeah, well, people forget. People think that Taylor Field was so windy, and it really wasn't. In my opinion, at the very end, but for years and years, I'm talking like pre-2003, when they had the wide open end zones, mm-hmm. and they had Hemroid Hill on, yeah. I think there were two Hemroid Hills, weren't there? And you had clear wind going through there, and that cut like a knife, and people today, they think that the wind...
That's minor. Yeah, there's been some interesting weather challenges at Taylor Field.
Lots to talk about here today, and to get things started, we're going to go out onto the Wheaton Kia hotline. We're now joined by Three Down Nation insider Justin Dunk. Justin, keeping busy?
You know it, man. It's slowing down a little bit, though, but it's been fun.
So, Manny Arsenault, the Riders missed out on landing that big quarterback. Is there enough consolation in stocking up on running backs and receivers to fill that void?
Potentially, but I'd be a little more worried about how they're going to protect Zach Collaros, and maybe that's something they're going to figure out down the line in the Canadian draft and maybe potentially Dakota Shepley. But Manny Arsenault, you know right off the bat, you're probably not going to see him until at least mid-season because he had his year cut short last year with that torn ACL.
Justin, the Riders signing Manny Arsenault today, is that kind of the consolation prize for not getting Darrell Walker?
It's a decent way to put it, but just two different guys with where they're at in terms of their career. Now, you're certainly going to get Arsenault at more of a bargain rate than Darrell Walker commanded on his one-year contract with the Argos. It was in the $275,000 range. So I would imagine Arsenault would be somewhere, I'm going to say, probably in the $150,000 range. So save some money there. But again, he's not going to be healthy until around mid-season.
Our visit with Justin Dunk, brought to you by Wheaton Kia this February. Get the new Forte for only $12.99 during their Month of Love event. One thing that struck me when the free agency was coming, and I mean, we heard it from Ballsy and we heard it from Rod before that, it seemed like so many people and so many Rider fans, even online, were hoping that the answer was going to be Jonathan Jennings at quarterback with the Riders, and I couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out why there was so much love for this guy. There's reports that his attitude has gone south. His production has gone south over the last couple of years. I look at it. I think I'll take my chances with Zach over Jonathan Jennings. Is there any reason why the Rider Nation should feel the least bit disappointed to miss out on Jonathan Jennings?
Well, I do get the sense that a change of scenery is going to do John Jennings well, and he did have the one big year where he burst on the scene and threw four over 5,000 yards, and he's got the skills to do it. So maybe just a fresh start in Ottawa is what John Jennings needs. But I'm with you. The Riders know what Zach Collaros is about. They understand how tough of a guy he is and the work that he's going to put in behind the scenes because they've seen it firsthand for an entire year after they traded for him from the Hamilton Tiger Cats. So it's very difficult to wrap your head around the prospect of bringing in a potential guy that's going to be your number one quarterback in Jennings that you're only really getting to know over a few hours when you're comparing that to Claros being there for a whole season.
Everybody seems to think that the BC Lions were the big winner in this free agent sweepstakes, but we still don't know what the salary cap is going to be. There have to be some risks for them in all this, aren't there?
Well, there could be, but I've said this a few times, that most of the general managers, I would imagine, have a decent idea based on talking to their presidents, who would be in communication with the Board of Governors and the league, of some idea of where the salary cap is going to go, or an idea of where the league is comfortable going. So you look at the BC Lions from that aspect, and maybe general manager Ed Hervey had a solid idea of where that cap number was going to be. And also, too, what a lot of people didn't talk about is the Lions were going to have some substantial salaries coming off the books. John Jennings, one of them, even though he played on a reduced contract in 2018. Manny Arsenault, the other. He made over $200,000 in 2018. And they'll see if Solomon Alamimian, who's due to make over $200,000 in 2019, is still on the team prior to the 2019 season. So some big salaries coming off the books. Obviously, you add a bunch, but I'm sure Hervey has the idea of where it's going to be balanced out.
Justin, speaking about the salary cap, Edmonton has signed a lot of high-end talent as well. Wouldn't they be potentially in the same type of boat?
It's possible, but they had already prepared various salary caps, and by that I mean Brock Sunderland, and one of them included paying Riley essentially whatever he wanted to stay in Edmonton, and that would have been around the $700,000 mark. So he takes that money and goes and gets Trevor Harris for about $550,000, and then a lot, some of it, to upgrading in other areas. And Darrell Walker was in play there, but they didn't feel like they were prepared to pay him the $275,000 that they wanted, or that Walker wanted. So they go out and give $250,000 to Greg Ellingson and then upgrade in some other areas. So I think in Edmonton there maybe could be, as I alluded to in BC with Solomon Alamimian, some decisions that have to be made with guys on the roster that have bigger salaries currently before the season kicks off.
Three Down Nation insider Justin Dunk, our guest on the Wheaton Kia hotline here on the Sports Cage on this Nelson Holmes Football Friday on 620 CKRM. Okay, so if we're looking at the BC Lions as the biggest winner in this free agency derby, can you think of a biggest loser in all of this? I mean, is there a team that jumps out to you that you think has taken the biggest blow out of anybody and has been decimated more than anybody else was before free agency opened up on Tuesday?
Well, I'm so hesitant to talk, you know, even winners and losers around free agency, because I feel like you look at the Calgary Stampeders year in and year out, they generally sit out day one where a lot of the money flies around, and even day two, and they look for the bargain guys and bring them in and plug them into their system. Courtney Steven is a great example of that, sort of fell out of favor in Hamilton from a starting perspective, got beat up by Mike Daly, and there he is to step in for the Stampeders at a need position at free safety. And I feel like naturally a lot of people are going to look at the Ottawa Red Blacks, and sources around the league do believe, and personnel men I'm talking about, that going with John Jennings could be a gamble. So we'll see how that pays off.
Yeah, I think I would just take my chances with Zach than to make that gamble. Are you surprised the NFL didn't swallow up Bo Levi Mitchell? I mean, it seemed like a foregone conclusion after Grey Cup that somebody was going to pick him up. It never happened. How come?
Well, Bo Levi Mitchell could have signed a contract and gone down and tried his luck, so to speak, down there. That's not the question. It was more about guaranteed money and what his actual opportunity was going to be. Was he battling for a number three job just to be on the roster? Was there a legitimate chance he could have been a number two and see that pathway to number one? Because that's what he talked about all along. So when you're Bo Levi Mitchell and you're looking at some of the offers that were thrown at him, and then the one he eventually signed in Calgary for around $700,000 start per year, compare that to making an NFL minimum salary deal, it makes a lot of sense for Bo to sign that, continue to build his legacy in the CFL, and know that he's going to get that money. Everything would have had to go his way to even just make an NFL roster, let alone have a shot to become a starter down there.
Justin, circling back to the Riders quarterback situation, after Zach Collaros was signed, the next question was, well, who's going to be the backup? And Kevin Glenn's name had come up, but people were concerned about that in Rider Nation, about the fact that he's 39 years old. So the Riders have, in fact, settled on Cody Fajardo. What do you think of that signing?
Well, some personnel men around the league just think Cody Fajardo is limited to a short yardage role. They're not so sure about his arm strength, so that's something that Fajardo will have to prove out. The Riders did have some interest in Travis Lillet. I'm told that he's still deciding what his future is going to be, whether that's playing or coaching going forward. So I think Lillet would be a name to monitor, and they did reach out to Kevin Glenn, who has been great to mentor younger quarterbacks, and with David Watford under contract, maybe that's one of the reasons why they wanted to bring Glenn in to help him along.
When Zach announced that he was coming back, and he didn't really give what I thought looked like a glowing endorsement of the way the offense was run in 2018, but that said, he did seem to give a glowing endorsement of the plan going forward from the GM, Jeremy O'Day, the head coach, Craig Dickinson, and the offensive coordinator, Stephen McAdoo. I'm wondering if maybe what we should read into the Manny Arsenault signing, I mean, they're throwing money at a guy who we're not even going to see till mid-season. I wonder if that was part of it, going to Zach saying, we're going to get you somebody, we're going to get you another toy, maybe two, to work with. Please come back.
Definitely. And there would have been a plan for that when they pitched Bo Levi Mitchell on the contract that they offered him and what it was going to look like in terms of the offensive structure and players who were going to be there and the system going forward. So the same thing would have happened with Zach Collaros. And they had some interest in Darrell Walker, and I'm sure they would have tried to chase some of the other receivers that they had ranked on their board. Arsenault obviously included in that, as a bunch of those guys signed with other teams.
The Riders are competing with Hamilton and Montreal to host Grey Cup 2020, and the league will announce the winner on Thursday of next week. Are you hearing anything that could spill the beans for us? Come on, it's just you, me, and Bob.
Yeah, there's just a couple people here.
just between boys, right? But in all honesty, guys, and this is pure speculation, it does seem like it's tilting towards the Hamilton Tiger Cats right now in the city of Hamilton. And the reason I say that is just because how tight-lipped they've been on it in Hamilton. And Randy Ambrosi actually made the trip with the Ticats brass when they went to city council to pitch the Grey Cup bid and proposing it to the city. So that, to me, really stands out. And Ambrosi didn't do that for any other city that's in the mix. So if you sort of read the tea leaves there, it seems like Hamilton's the favorite, but both Hamilton and Saskatchewan are having viewing parties, so they must think there's a realistic chance.
Well, I mean, I guess they owe Bob Young. I mean, he's probably still in the red for all the years that he's owned the Ticats, and they'll probably want to look after him on that. Hey, great job as always. Checks in the mail. Go have yourself a great weekend, young man.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Thanks,
all right.
Justin.
All right, that is Three Down Nation insider Justin Dunk joining us on the Wheat and Kia Hotline. And, of course, all guests appearing on the Wheat and Kia Hotline are brought to you by Wheat and Kia. This February, get the new Forte for only $12.99 during their Month of Love event. We'll be back. It's a Nelson Holmes Football Friday on the Sports Cage, 620 CKRM. Time for the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Lots of free agent news from the Riders today, and it's all about the receivers. Naaman Roosevelt is back for 2019 on a one-year contract extension. He'll be joined by two-time All-Star Manny Arsenault. He's also here on a one-year deal. The Manny Show did 8 years with the BC Lions and a couple of All-Star appearances. It's expected the 31-year-old won't be able to go until mid-season. A torn ACL has him on the shelf. The Regina Pats are at home here at the Brandt Center tonight, playing the Edmonton Oil Kings. It's their Don Cherry night. We'll have more on that a little bit later. Phil the Thrill Andrews and Jared Dumble will have it live for you here on the home of the Regina Pats, 620 CKRM. Pre-game show will be just after we finish up here ourselves at 6:35 this evening. The Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush at Boston Pizza. Get drinks and apps starting at just $4 every Sunday through Thursday from 3 to 6 and 9 to close. Boston Pizza. gather around. Brendan McGuire alongside Bob Krawchuk live on location here at the Brandt Center, where tonight the Pats will take on the Edmonton Oil Kings. And we have Zinger News behind the glass back in the studio, of course. Your calls and texts are welcome on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-936-6262. Out of town toll-free at 1-866-767-0620. And the Twitter feed, don't forget to find us there, at SportsCage. And you can find me on Twitter at BrendanHowardMC. Bob, are you on Twitter
yet? You will not find me on Twitter.
You know what? Before Mosh was here, and I just feel so much better when he's here holding my hand, getting us on the air, because you know it's going to be a disaster.
That's important.
He doesn't do that. And he says, Bob Krawchuk, I hear all the time, what does he look like? I bring it up on my phone, I Google. There's a 75-year-old man is the first thing that pops up if you Google Bob Krawchuk.
I'm not quite there yet, but I'm getting closer.
You got to be online, young man.
No, I'm old school. I've got an iPhone. That's it.
My old man is about a field goal away from 70, and I finally got him texting. So if he can do that, you can be online. Manny Arsenault, I get it. But being out for half a season, like, I just can't. Like, how often do you hear of guys even being signed when you know they're going to be out for half the year? Because don't you have to pay his salary for the first half of the year? Don't you usually wait till he's rehabbed and then bring him back? I mean, I don't know.
And coming off a torn ACL, that is a significant injury, so he's not going to be ready till the middle of the season. But that's a tough injury to come back from. So when he is ready, how ready will he be is the other question. Like, because you can't expect him to come out 100%. Right, so there's going to be a process there as well. So that's interesting that, you know, you're not going to see a guy till the fall.
If you miss any parts of this show, you can find us at Sports Cage On Demand for the Canadian Brewhouse. Download the Canadian Brewhouse app for free food and collect points for Brew Bucks that you can spend anytime. I was talking earlier about Jonathan Jennings, and I still can't wrap my head around why there was demand for him from the fans, and I don't even think it was from Jeremy O'Day. It doesn't sound like they really made an offer. They were never serious about it. And it's tough to gauge where the Riders are going to go with a lot of these decisions, because Jeremy O'Day is not a newcomer in these parts, but he's a newcomer as a general manager. And when Chris Jones was here, you kind of knew what to expect. I mean, he was just, some moments he seemed off the wall crazy, but he always had a plan. And with Jeremy O'Day, that's the struggle I have. I just don't know I don't know where he's going to go with all of this, because there's just no data to look back on, because he's never been a full-time general manager. It's like we're going into uncharted waters with this guy.
As we look at what's happened so far, the Riders really haven't. I would say Micah Johnson, though. That, to me, that was a splash signing. That was a, you know, he's
make
a
up for Willie Jefferson kind of signing? Kind of, yeah.
It is, but absolutely. And, you know, you come back and you see what the Riders have done after day one, because after day one, everybody was going, we lost out on the quarterbacks, and people are leaving, and everybody else, Edmonton and BC, are going crazy, and we're not really, outside of Micah Johnson and William Powell, which is another good signing, we really didn't have anybody. But a lot of time, these things filter out over the next few days, and we're seeing what we're getting now. Naaman Roosevelt's back. AC Leonard signed here.
It's a big one.
There is only one Willie Jefferson. I understand that, but that is a very good plan B. If you don't have Willie Jefferson, AC Leonard is a guy that's been here before and has some potential, so that helps fill that hole. I mean, just said there's only one Willie Jefferson, so if he goes, you're not going to probably get somebody to that level. But again, that's another good signing. So they're kind of filling in the holes, and again, not a lot of, outside of, for me, Micah Johnson and perhaps William Powell, like big splash signings, but the Riders are filling some holes, and that's what you need to do during free agency.
Yeah, and I think that the Jason Shiver signing, I thought, was a real plus, because I think that we're now in an era where that drill sergeant stuff that used to go on with
that
football
coaches, that doesn't work anymore.
That's gone. Remember Don Matthews' last go-around for half a season? They went 0-8 with the Argos, and he said, color me toasted. Now, I understand Shivers isn't the head coach. He's the defensive coordinator. But I think that was a real positive step to filling any holes that may occur because of the loss of Willie Jefferson. But we'll see how that pans out. I mean, they still have a lot of good pieces there. I mean, as long as you've got number 11 Ed Gainey there, and you know, now you add Micah Johnson, they should be good to go. But we will see. Coming up later in hour number one, we're going to hear from newly re-signed Rough Rider kicker Brett Lowther. You're listening to Nelson Holmes Football Friday here on 620 CKRM. You can tell that Zinger's in charge of picking the music now. Back on a Nelson Holmes Football Friday on 620 CKRM. You can follow us on Twitter at SportsCage. Our Twitter feed brought to you by Molson Bohemian, a smooth, delicious-tasting beer with a rich Saskatchewan history, available in 12 or 24 cans cases. Please enjoy their product responsibly. Coming up in Hour 2, we're going to visit with the color commentator for Pat's broadcast here on 620 CKRM, Jared Dumba, and we're going to hear from Canada's NFL insider, Jumbo Jim Lang. I can't wait to hear his take on the Denver Broncos signing Joe Flacco. So the big news of the day, a few contract announcements by the Riders, a couple of extensions. Naaman Roosevelt gets a one-year extension. Manny Arsenault is the new man on campus. And also an extension for the kicker, Brett Lowther, who's now inked through 2020. And moments ago, he caught up with our very own Mitchell Blair.
Joining us on the Wheaton Kia hotline from Langley, B.C., Rider kicker Brett Lowther. Of course, Brett has, as you know, signed a contract extension. He's going to be with the team through the 2020 season. Brett, first off, congratulations. How nice is it to have some football security? Because I know you haven't had that at times in your CFL career.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels nice, I guess, to be on it. And I'm just excited to get back with the team, to be honest, this year. I can't wait.
From what you've seen in free agency, how excited are you? I know that a lot of people were sort of hoping that maybe a bigger splash would be made, but a lot of other people have said, you know what, that splash wasn't created, but you've made some solid additions. What do you think of this team as we've gone through free agency?
Honestly, I feel like our team from last year, we have a lot of unfinished business, and I think that's why you see some of the names coming back, and to the guys who didn't, best of luck to all those guys too. They're great teammates, but yeah, I feel like we're kind of looking or shaping up to be a type of team that we were last year. And who knows, if we didn't have some injuries down the stretch, we could be champions in this offseason. But we're not, so we still got a lot of work to go.
When you look at your season last year, and I know everybody talked about it, and I know you were you had microphone stuffed in front of you after a lot of games. Now that you've had some time to sit back and think about it, what made everything go so right for you last year?
It's tough to pinpoint it on one thing. I think maybe just the last few years, how they went, just a lot of things just clicked at once that didn't click before. So I just tried to take it week by week last year and game by game, and really just tried to have fun again and enjoy playing football for a living, and things just fell into place. And this year, kind of in the off season, I'm just kind of forgetting about last year. I don't want to hit my hat or think it was just a one and done. I'm really working hard to try to come out this year and be better. There's still a lot I can improve on.
I was just going to say, the expectations after what you did in year one and year two, people will be expecting you to put up similar performances, and that may or may not be a fair thing to say when that happens. But the Brett Lowther, though, that we saw in 2018, you certainly want that to continue in 19 and beyond.
Yes, for a long time, for sure. And I'm putting the work in right now that I've been putting in the last few years as well. So I'm just excited. I'm just excited to get back with the team, get back into training camp, and get back to trying to help the Riders win games.
Your head coach is somebody that you're very familiar with, and Craig Dickinson. For people that maybe don't know what type of coach Craig Dickinson is, you'd be a perfect person to ask, being a kicker, being a special teams guy. What can Rider fans expect to see from Craig Dickinson in 2019?
Honestly, I think he's up there for one of the best coaches I've ever been around or had. So I was pretty excited when he got the hire, along with J.O. and Coach Shives. They all really deserve to be in the positions they are, especially Coach Dickey. And, I think maybe this year there's kind of a lot of teams or people in the league that are sleeping on us and this and that, but I think they're going to be pretty surprised with what they get out of the new coaching staff and some of the players and everything going on in that locker room. The kind of sense or feeling I'm getting from players and stuff on the team is last year was kind of just left some unfinished business coming into this season. So I'm just, like I said, excited to get back and get back to work with these guys.
What is it about Craig that impresses you the most?
Just he's been there before, and he knows the game better than anyone, especially from a special teams level. He's just cool. He's calm. He's collective under pressure in a lot of situations. I think you guys can see in the past few years on the sideline, like, how he is and how he coaches. And To be honest, he's a big reason why I'm where I am. He kind of pushed me, and he brought a lot out of me that I kind of didn't know or think I had in me, and he's made me a better player. So I couldn't be happier that he's the head coach, and I can't wait to get back to work with him.
Do you give him some of the credit for the success you had last year?
100%, yeah, for sure. I mean, him, everyone. I don't take any credit for last year. It was a lot to do with family, friends, like I've said all year. Coach Dickey, my teammates, everyone there. It wouldn't happen without them. I'm definitely in no position to be taking any credit for anything that happened last year.
This team has had some pretty good kickers over the years, and you certainly put your name amongst them. How does it feel to sort of be up in that echelon and talked with guys like Dave Ridgway, who, as you know, was an icon here for what he did in a Rider uniform?
Yeah, I'm not going to mention my name or think it's up around those guys for what they did year in and year out for a long time. It was a good season, and maybe a few more of those, so you might be able to throw my name around with those guys. But for now, I'm not looking at it like that at all. And it's like I said, to me, last year really didn't happen. It's kind of the attitude I have coming into this year. And with my training and everything else, I'm just trying to stay hungry and stay ready to go out and have another good season.
Riders kicker Brett Lowther with me on the Wheaton Kia Hotline. Brett, when you came into last season, what were your expectations coming? Because as you said, you know, you were sort of a CFL journeyman, and, you know, I think you surprised a lot of people with the way that you came through last year, and that's certainly not a slight on what you can do, because we all know you could kick the ball coming in. But what were sort of the expectations that you had as a CFL journeyman kicker, knowing that it could be a one and done for you, because Tyler Crepinia had been established as the kicker here before an injury? You certainly silenced any critics that you had, but what was the expectation for you coming into the season last year, and how do you look to build on what was a great 2018?
I think I always had or have had, even though I wasn't playing in the league, high expectations for myself. I mean, any level growing up from high school or any sports I've ever done, I've always had that. And I mean, going into last year, Tyler is a great kicker, and he's proven that in this league. So to go to camp, get to compete with him, ended up getting the job. I just wanted to go out, like I said, each week, and instead of trying to put a ton of pressure on yourself, just trying to enjoy the game again. I know this is a job that I'm not going to be doing forever, and I'm pretty realistic with how things go. You just know professional athletes get to do it for the rest of their life. So it just came down to trying to enjoy each day, enjoy my teammates, my coaches in the locker room, and just working hard to get better each and every week for not only the fans, but my teammates and everyone. And I mean, I think that drives me the most is I just like kind of don't have many fears in my life, but one of them's failure. And so that's why I think I work so hard in the off seasons, and the work I put in hopefully is just going to show this year, and we can get back to work and hopefully win some more games, like I said.
And you know, the team's putting an investment into you. You weren't scheduled to be a free agent until after next year, but they want you locked up now, so that's going to feel pretty nice that you know that you're a part of the future here.
Yeah, definitely. It's my agent, Rob Fry, and J.O. got a deal done pretty quick, and hats off to them. It's kind of a special feeling. It's the first time I really got to negotiate or be in a negotiation for a contract where you weren't just coming in and offered minimum and had to take it. So just the feeling of kind of being wanted and knowing where I'm going this offseason, because this time last year I didn't know if I was going to be on a team or even in a training camp or ever play football again. So the difference a year can make is pretty crazy. And it's like I said, I'm just making sure I put the work in and show that their investment's going to be worth it.
If you weren't playing football, what would you be doing?
I'm not sure. There's a few different things. Kind of thought about RCMP a few times, been to some meetings there. I'm in Langley right now just doing some part-time work with my brother, selling cars at TMT Auto right now, and just learning the finance and number side of that while I train. And there's just a number of odd jobs, like I said, that I've done over the years just to kind of stay with football. So I couldn't pinpoint it on one thing that I would be doing, but doing something else in life and just trying to enjoy it and take it day by day, the same as I do with football.
Safe to say, though, that being a kicker is a lot better than being a car salesman?
Yeah, definitely. there's no other feeling or no better feeling than going out in Saskatchewan and Regina and getting to walk on that field with the history that team has and get to try to score points for my team and the fans to win games. It's something that I'm definitely not taking for granted.
Well, I'm guessing, you know, if you wanted to, you know, if you were kicking the way you did last year, you could probably be a car salesman here and sell quite a bit of cars. So maybe, you know, you can do it one. And, you know, I'm joking when I say that.
Maybe that's what the future holds. I'm not sure, but wouldn't be too disappointed.
There you go. Hey, Brett, I know that this announcement today has a lot of Rider fans excited, and I know a lot of fans are getting ready for training camp. They're already excited about it to see what's going to happen, and knowing that you're going to be a part of it, I know that adds to their excitement. So congratulations. Thanks for the time, and have yourself a great weekend.
Thank you very much, and you as well. Have a good day.
Our very own Mitchell Blair in discussion with the newly re-signed Rough Rider kicker Brett Lowther, and that interview brought to you by Wheaton Kia. This February, get the new Forte for only $12.9 during their Month of Love event. Well, the kid sounded, he was saying all the right things. I mean, he wasn't going to compare himself to Dave Ridgway, and now he's got his own position coach as the head coach, so I think he was probably going to be in his corner from the get-go. You covered the Riders, Bob, for a long time. And anytime we're hearing about a head coach candidate come up, it's always this offensive coordinator, that defensive coordinator, once in a while that college coach. Do you ever recall a special teams coach getting it? And I'm not saying it's a bad hire. I'm just saying I just don't ever remember it happening. It seems like we've always overlooked the special teams guys.
Craig Dickinson's had, I think, other interviews.
His name's come up.
Well-regarded, but you're right. If you go back through time, it's basically head coach leaves, okay, so it's the offensive or defensive coordinator, maybe from that team or from another team, but it's very rare that you see people hired from just, you know, especially special teams, but just from a position coach aspect. But you also have to look at the Riders did look at Corey Chamberlain before Greg Marshall got signed.
Right, right.
And Corey Chamberlain at the time was just the defensive, was a defensive backs coach.
Right.
So that was close, and then obviously Corey came a long later. But that's,
and that worked out okay.
It worked out great. Yeah. 2013, and everybody remembers that. But mostly it's like offensive or defensive coordinators, but the position guys, and especially special teams, I don't know why they don't get the consideration, because
it's like it's overlooked. Teams, yeah.
It's a third of the game, and it's an important third of the game.
Yeah. I remember Jeff Currier used to drive that point home, and I almost think that it's because we put all of our backups on special teams. We automatically assume that, well, it's just special teams, right? And for years, when Roy Shivers was the GM, they would hire Alex Smith to look after special teams and coordinate the Canadian college draft, and it almost seemed like these were duties that they're like, oh, we'll just get him to do it. But what people didn't understand is that when Roy and Danny left after the 2006 season, Alex Smith was being hotly pursued, I remember, by the Edmonton Eskimos, who were going to throw some money at him, and they wanted to lure him away. But Alex, being a good old Regina boy, he got sweet-talked by Ken Austin, so he hung around. So point being, I think sometimes we just overlook that because it's the backups. And, you know, just like I don't think that just because a guy's never run an offense or a defense that he can't be a great head coach either. Some of the best head coaches have spent most of their careers as positional guys. You know, because it's just a different skill set. Like coordinating an offense, you're designing plays. You have to have that mad scientist mentality. I don't know that that's the same thing as being a head coach. Being a head coach, you've got to motivate guys.
Head coach, a lot of it is management. It's, you want to have somebody that's got an expertise, obviously, somebody like Chris Jones, who's a defensive guy, but he was his own defensive coordinator.
Maybe not his X's and O's as much.
But when you have position coaches and coordinators, they're tied into their certain area. As a head coach, you've got to manage the whole thing. And that's the part that I think gets overlooked sometimes. It's not so much, is this an offensive genius or a defensive genius or a special teams genius? It's how you manage. And that's how a lot of the successful coaches are. Sure, they have their area of expertise, but a lot of it is you're managing because you're looking after, you might be a defensive guy, but you still got to look after the offense. Special teams, you have to consider everything, and that gets overlooked a lot too.
Yeah, and so often if somebody runs a defense that does so well, they start talking about him being the next head coach. How often have we heard Rich Stubler's name come up as a head coach, because he's one of the great defensive minds of all time? But anybody who's been around Rich, and this is no disrespect to Rich, you can just see how he would play as a head coach. And I remember when he got hired to be the head coach of the Toronto Argonauts, one well-respected football writer said, that's a terrible hire. And it was. So I think the lesson learned is, how do they deal with people? Not so much how do they design their schemes on offense, defense, or special teams. You can always listen to the podcast of this show at sportscage.ca, SportsCage on Demand for the Canadian Brewhouse. Saturday, February 23rd, the 40-ounce steak night is back for just $34.99. Book now at the CBH. Brendan McGuire and Bob Krawchuk here live on location at the Brandt Center, and we've got Zinger News behind the glass back at the studio. We'll be back with more. It's a Nelson Holmes Football Friday here on 620 CKRM. Time for the RMP Sports Ticker, the news of the day. Three contract signings for the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and a lot of it's from the receiving core. Naaman Roosevelt back for 2019. There was some worry that he may not come back, but, well, now we know that he's back. The Riders confirming it this afternoon. And, of course, kicker Brett Lowther re-signed through 2020. Two-time All-Star Manny Arsenault now under contract with the Riders as well, although it's expected that his torn ACL injury will keep him on the shelf until about Labor Day. Your Regina Pats are back in action tonight, home here at the Brandt Center playing the Edmonton Oil Kings. It's their Don Cherry night. Phil the Thrill and Jared Dumble will have it for you live on 620 CKRM. Pre-game show coming up at 6:35. And the RMP Sports Ticker brought to you by Regina Motor Products. The 2018 truck clearout is on now, but only until February 28th at RMP. Brendan McGuire alongside Bob Krawchuk here in hour one of the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. And I know, Bob, when you were over at Global, you were there before they shut down Sportsline, right? Like when you had the half-hour show?
They shut it down while I was there.
Well, you were there. Okay, so you came on. And I remember when I was a little kid, that was must-see TV because I lived on a farm in the middle of nowhere like so many of our listeners. And I remember I would come into the city and I would stay at my mom's house or at other people's houses where they had Global Television. And I remember they had that, I'm trying to think of what it was, like there was that thing on TV where it would go up the elevator shaft and it would said from high atop STV World Headquarters, this is Sportsline. And like we're going back to when they had Ron Rimmer. Yeah. And I know for a while it was you, it was Plaster, it was Woodsy, it was like a big triple threat there. That was the greatest show in television.
Loved doing it. We had a great time. It was 6 days a week, local half-hour sports show, and that gave us an opportunity to do a lot of local coverage because you're filling a half hour and you wanted to try to make it as local as possible. So maybe we had Riders, Pats, University, curling, high school sports. It was great. Be all around the city, and that got a lot of viewership in too because people were going, you know, something that probably wouldn't get on maybe on a 5-minute sports show or
right.
5-minute sports cast. It was going to get on Sportsline, and it was 6 days a week, and we had a great time doing it. But unfortunately, there were others that had other ideas.
Well,
and
I mean,
we can go into that forever.
Yeah, we'll go into that off air. Do you have any? Actually, did you work with Rimmer, or was he gone before you got there? Okay, I was going to see if you had any good stories.
I was with when I started. It was Woodsy and Craig Adam.
Oh, right.
Yep.
Yeah, and they carried it for a while. But I remember one of my favorite episodes was when they had Ron Rimmer's going away because he was moving to Edmonton, and they were showing all the clips from all the years gone by, and there he was sitting on the couch, maybe by the desk. And there was this woman in a bikini, and he says, now, you might be asking, what does this have to do with sports? Well, not a damn thing. And it was just... Love that show, STV. Your calls and texts, welcome on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-936-6262. Out of town, toll free at 1-866-767-0620. And, of course, the Prairie Mobile text line brought to you by your Sastel authorized dealer. Coming up in hour two, we're going to hear from CKRM color analyst Jared Dumba. Pats had a pretty nice road trip splitting last
two
four
and two.
Games going through the Alberta road swing. I'll be curious to hear Jared's thoughts on that. And also, what are the Pats going to look like going forward? It seemed like at the Memorial Cup, we were all resigned to the fact that things were going to go downhill for a little bit. So, now we're a year through that, and sometimes those transitions just last for a year. Sometimes they go on two. I was a Moose Jaw Warrior fan back in the day, so the transition year would be like 4 or 5
yeah,
years.
Like a decade.
Kind of like the Edmonton Oilers' decade of disaster, whatever they call it. Zinger, you've been suspiciously quiet.
How you guys doing today?
We're doing well.
We got Jason from Balgonie. Would like to see us grab a couple offensive linemen. I like John Gott, and I think St. John was coming around last year. Jason Balgonie wants some hoggies up front.
I would say that would be a pretty good investment to make for Zach. I mean, you saved yourself some money with Zach because he's getting less now than he was last year. And, you know, to be fair, the concern with Zach, I don't think, is so much whether he can perform or not. This team had a hell of a good record last year when he was a starting quarterback, not so good when he wasn't. It's the injury concerns. But if he feels like he can play going forward, I would have to think at this point you've got the running game solidified. You've shored up your receiving core a little bit. I mean, the receiving core was one of the best in the CFL in 2017, took a step back in 2018. I think that's fair to say. But I think that would be a logical conclusion that right now your biggest investment area of concern would be the Hoggies up front.
The interesting part of that is the only free agent they have is Josiah St. John. So effectively, the line that they had last year, because Dan Clark will come back healthy, the line that they had is under contract. So it'll be interesting to see if Jeremy O'Day thinks that needs an upgrade or that the Riders believe that they're happy with what they have.
And sometimes that works out too, because sometimes you get lulled into thinking you need to make all these changes, but the more experience they get better, like a fine wine, all the rest of it. We'll kick it around some more in hour two. You're listening to Nelson Holmes Football Friday here on The Source, 620 CKRM. Hoo-ha, the Friday edition of The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. I stole that from Jim Van Horn. He was the TSN guy, the really big mustache.
Oh, yeah.
He used to say that every Friday. Brendan McGuire live on location down at the Brand Center alongside Bob Krawchuk. Pleased to be joined by Regina Pats color analyst Jared Dumba. Jared, how are things?
Yeah, pretty good. How are you doing?
Getting by. It's kind of getting cold down here. It's quiet down here in the... Is your mic on? There you go. You're good.
Oh, just checking. Yeah, which one I am, just in case.
Mosh looked after it. You're good. You're set. It's quiet down here at the Brandt Center. It'll be noisy here momentarily as it will begin to fill up for tonight's game between the Edmonton Oil Kings and the Regina Pats. And it is the hashtag WHL Suits Up with Don Cherry to promote organ donation night at tonight's home game versus the Oil Kings. The Pats will wear their special Don Cherry suit uniforms. The jerseys will be auctioned off here at the game in support of the Kidney Foundation. Got a split on that four-game Alberta road trip with wins in Lethbridge and Red Deer. I would think that going into the trip, if you asked Dave Struch, how would you feel if you got a split? He would feel pretty good about that. Pretty good trip, I think you'd have to say.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, you're going up against four playoff teams and four teams that are playing pretty good hockey right now. And then, you know, you go up against Lethbridge, and you got a couple guys on that team that we are all very familiar with, Henry and Lecision, who you're thinking they're going to be pumped up to play their old team. So we knew that there was going to be no easy games on that road trip. And to come out, you know, against those four teams with two wins and to be in the other couple games, I mean, the last one, I guess, you lose 5-2, but you're a little bit tired. That's towards the end of the trip. So, you know, I thought three really good performances and then one that's you're a little bit tired. So you got to give the boys a little bit of a pass. But, yeah, against four great teams, you got to like that outcome.
You watch the Pats a lot more than I'm sure Bob or I do and probably most of our listeners. I want to go back to – we'll just go back to the trade deadline. When all the dust settled, Nick Henry was gone, Jake Lecision was gone, so many other guys – of all of the players left over, who would be the one, or is there one, that jumps out at you who has grabbed the torch and run with it, with the extra ice time and the opportunity?
Well, you know what? There's been a lot of guys that have kind of stepped up. I'd like to say, Riley Crane, guys like him. Sebastian Strew would be one that's really stepped up. Massey, I'm thinking about the younger guys right now that have all stepped up with the extra ice time. And you know, you watch those first couple weeks when they were thrust into those roles and they weren't playing as well as they are now. But you don't just jump into a whole bunch of confidence. You got to gain that and you got to earn it. And that came with you know, the extra reps, the extra ice time. You got to fail a little bit. I always say you got to fail a little bit before you succeed. And you know, so you're making some mistakes out there, and the coaches are letting you play through them. And now we're starting to see the rewards of those things. Guys like Duncan Pierce, they're all getting more ice time. They're all playing really, really well now. You know, Pierce at the beginning of the year, you know, a lot of times he'd hang onto the puck. It almost looked like he wouldn't know when he was when he should pass or when he should shoot. Now it's like he makes the right decision every time, and that just comes with the extra reps. As for the older guys, you know, I'd like, you know, you got to say Pratt. Pratt's been kind of running with the torch. I think Cole as of late has been playing really well. So there's a couple of the old boys that are, you know, carrying the torch as being the, you know, the top guys, the leaders on the team. But there's some young guys starting to step up and really gain from the excess reps out on the ice.
Jared, obviously the Pats want to win every game they play, but they've had some struggles this season. Is it more important for them just in how they play as opposed to not really like paying attention to the scoreboard, but is it more important for them to, you know, to be playing the right way and let the wins and losses and that just, you know, kind of go to the back?
Oh, I think 100%. You can't really worry about wins right now, although everybody always says, you know, you just want to win. That's all you're focused on. I don't think for the players, I think they're focused on winning and trying to do their best to win. But as the coaches, I think that they just want to see the best effort because, you know, with some of the teams that are out there, well, you're a young team, you got some superstars in the making, but you're missing those, the older superstars that every other team has. So you can't expect to win every night. But like you said, as long as you're getting the little things, you know, structurally, you see the team out there and there's for a young team, it's incredible to see what they're doing and how they're in all of these games. They're playing smart. I think that they're doing the right things. And the important thing right now is just continuing to do those right things as much as possible. You're not going to be able to do them all the time, but just, you know, do them more often as you get used to the reps as the season goes on. So we're seeing that. I got to think that Struce and Haroff and Montaigne, the boys, I think they're doing a fantastic job. You see how well the goalies are playing under Montaigne. You see how well the D and the forwards are playing. You got to think that the coaching staff's happy with all the steps in the right direction. I think if you ask anybody who watches the games on a regular basis, you know, did you think the Pats would be playing this well at this point? I think it would be resounding across the board, not a chance. I didn't think that they'd be playing this well, and that's not to take away from any of the players. I mean, you got a lot of young guys, and they're trying to figure it out, but they've come together so quickly, and that's just a testament to the guys, the older guys in the room, the Pratts and the Coles, and even maybe, you know, you look at Paddock and Nett, too. He's starting to become a leader, 18-year-old now. So, you know, it's a testament to those guys, but also the coaching staff and just the whole feel around this organization.
Chatting with Pats color analyst Jared Dumba here on 620 CKRM. Of course, he'll be doing the game tonight with Phil the Thrill pregame show at 6:35 just after we're done here on the Sports Cage. Max Paddock and Dean McNabb, both 18-year-old goaltenders, both have performed pretty well. Do you expect that if they both continue to perform, that trade discussions will come out in the summertime? I mean, I'd have to think it would be inevitable, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, and I don't know if it would be in the summertime. It would depend on what you get. I would think you could get something better next year if you are. It's, you know, it's rare to have two guys the same age, two 19-year-old goaltenders, unless you were going for it next year, which I think that they'll be able to, you know, maybe win a playoff series next year. I don't know if they're going to be able to go for it. So I could see, you know, whoever's the better of the two or you know, if they're playing equal, then I could see one of them, you know, going somewhere, and you're going to get a good reward for either one of those guys as long as they're playing the way that they are now. Yeah, they're playing so well down the stretch here. They're pushing each other. You got a couple of good, really athletic, acrobatic goaltenders in there, and then you got a big guy. Obviously, Paddock's a fairly big boy in there. So, you know, I could see somebody who's got a real good team next year who maybe if they're seeing a little bit of shaky goaltending, you know, maybe towards December or even closer to the deadline, all of a sudden, I wouldn't be surprised if one of those guys is gone and you're going to get a huge return. I would think if you can pull a 16-year-old or a 17, a good 16 or 17-year-old and something else out of a team that's going for it that needs a goaltender, I think you're only setting yourself up that much better for the next couple of years. But, well, I guess we'll see what happens.
The Prince Albert Raiders were expected to be good. I don't know that anybody expected them to be as good as they have been, especially as good as they started the season. But I remember you and I had a chat up in the press box about when Ian Scott was away at the World Juniors, their goaltender,
yep,
and how they looked vulnerable, mm-hmm, when he wasn't there.
Yeah.
Do you feel like that vulnerability is there with Prince Albert hanging over them, just given the fact that they don't really have a proven backup at this point?
Well, you know what? I kind of do. Just when you see them get beat, you know, by a really young team like the Pats in their own building and losing to Swift Current, you know, you're losing to the bottom place teams. Now, you could say that maybe you weren't ready for those guys, but I don't know. I think I don't know. I really expected them. I thought they were going to go out. I thought that they were going to be pushing hard for a guy like Max Paddock here. I thought that they would try and bring him in and then, you know, let him and Scott battle it out. Obviously, give it to Scott because he's the 20-year-old. But then I thought, you know, next year they're going to be a lot of people are saying they're going to be as good. You'd have Max Paddock in there as a 19-year-old. And then the next year they're going to be good again, from what everybody says. Yeah, I thought you'd have, you know, they would be pushing for a guy like Max and be willing to give up a lot of their future, but they've decided to stand pat and stick with what they had. So obviously they got confidence, and maybe their backup goaltender goes in if needed and surprises us all. But just from the little bit from what I saw, and it could have just been, you know, the games I saw, I thought that they were going to maybe go for a bit of an upgrade. And the reason why I said Paddock was because, I mean, I see him here. You've seen him in the Memorial Cup steal a couple of games. He's an incredible goaltender. I thought that would make all the sense in the world. And then he would be able to learn from Scott a little bit too, even a little bit more. If he went there, you'd have a great tandem. And, you know, I thought maybe the Pats would be willing to give him up at this point if they got it, if they, you know, got enough, because you're not really going for it for the next 2-3 years here, a few years probably. So by the time Paddock's out of the league, so I thought that they'd be pushing for a guy like that. But, well, they stood pat. We'll see. So if Scott goes down, I would be really worried there. But like you said, I guess we'll see how it goes.
I know the Saskatoon Blades have been red hot lately. They've kind of put some distance between themselves and the Moose Jaw Warriors for that 2-3 spot. They're probably going to play each other in the first round of the playoffs, I would have to think, although the Warriors do have some games in hand. But Moose Jaw, coming into the year, I know I didn't project them. I don't follow it as much as I should to make the playoffs.
No.
And one stat that I saw thrown online a few days ago, their top three scorers is the best triple threat of any team, not in the WHL, in the CHL, in all of Canada. So I guess what I'm saying is I always wondered if at some point Moose Jaw's bubble would burst. Are we maybe coming to that now? I mean, the Pats have a game there tomorrow night, and we've seen them maybe fall a little bit.
I don't know. Yeah, it's so weird when you're talking about Moose Jaw. Moose Jaw, they're kind of like a Brandon. You can never tell when they're gonna have a bad team or a good team. Well, they usually have good teams, or they'll usually surprise. Their bubble could burst at any time when you're heavily relying on one line like that. You know, one of those guys goes down, or you get in a tight playoff series. I mean, look at the Tampa Bay Lightning in the NHL. You see what happens to them, Kucherov and Stamkos. You just shut those guys down, and you got a pretty, you know, and you got to win. They have a tough time making it out of the second round. So it's, you know, it could be one of those things. But who knows if they're that good? If they are the best line in the CHL, the most productive, maybe they come through and surprise somebody. Who knows? Maybe my prediction with Saskatoon not being good in the playoffs. I've been telling people that. I think that they're going to surprise some people. Who knows? Maybe they run up against Moose Jaw and a hot line, and they get knocked down. That's why we watch the games. It's going to be fun to watch. But, anytime you're you know, that reliant on one line, I'm always very weary about a team. If I was picking guys, if I was in a playoff pool, I wouldn't be picking them, but I also wouldn't be betting against them, I guess, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and the Pats will have the chance to play spoiler tomorrow night at the Mosaic Stadium Place. I think Place they call it now. And I'm just
Place.
And I'm so glad that we don't have to do games in that smelly little crushed can anymore.
Was the best arena.
I love nostalgic arenas. That place stunk. There was mold in that place. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Oh, there probably was. I scored my first WHL goal in that arena, so you got to be careful what you say about the crushed can.
With the Blades?
With the Blades, yeah. Donovan Nunwiler was the goal.
Oh, he was a beauty.
Yeah, he was a good goalie. Yeah.
He was like a 19-year-old rookie, and he was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was like top goalie in the league or something that year. One of them, anyways. But
Are you doing the game tomorrow night in Moose Jaw? Or this is it?
I don't know. I'll have to talk to Phil when I go. Right. I'm not sure.
If you don't
I'm not. I shouldn't. Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm in Swift Current tomorrow night doing a female AAA game.
Well, more pregame pizza for the rest of us. Are we interrupting your pregame meal here?
You can have my portion.
You know,
a hefty portion.
The year that I did all the games for the Windsor Spitfires when I moved out east, I gained 30 pounds that year.
Well, that's a true story. Phenomenal in all these arenas. How do you say no? You say you're going to say no, and then you walk in and smell the deliciousness. And
can't say no to pizza.
No. I mean, and then there's donuts after. I mean, come on.
Not going to happen with this crew. All right. Okay, well, check's in the mail. We'll let you go have at her. Have a good show tonight. We'll be listening.
Thanks for having me.
Have a good call, Jared.
Thanks.
All right, that is color analyst Jared Dumba, who will do the game tonight with Phil the Thrill Andrews here on 620 CKRM. Time to break. It's a Nelson Holmes Football Friday on 620 CKRM. Time for the Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. The free agent news out of Ryderville today. A couple of receivers under contract. Manny Arsenault joins the green and white, 8-year veteran from the BC Lions. 2-time All-Star, missed a good chunk of last season with a torn ACL, which will keep him on the shelf until Labor Day in 2019. The bigger the news of the day, Naaman Roosevelt is back. He has a 1-year extension for 2019. He sat out there for about 72 hours on the free agent market, but general manager Jeremy O'Day able to come to terms with Naaman and his agent. Of course, the Pats at home here tonight at the Brandt Center playing the Edmonton Oil Kings. And Phil and Jared will have it for you live on 620 CKRM. Pre-game show will be at 6:35. Boston Pizza Afternoon Rush. Get drinks and apps starting at just $4 every Sunday through Thursday from 3 to 6 and 9 to close. Boston Pizza, gather around. Brendan McGuire and Bob Krawczyk live on location down here at the Brandt Center at Evraz Place in anticipation of tonight's game. As I mentioned moments ago, news of the day, the Rough Riders have a new receiver. His name is Manny Arsenault. And digging in the corners, our own Mitchell Blair sat down with Manny over the phone on the Wheaton Kia hotline just moments ago.
Thanks a lot, Brendan, joining us on the Wheaton Kia hotline from Dallas, Texas. It is Manny Arsenault, the newest member of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Manny, how does that feel being a member of the Riders after 8 years in BC?
Man, it actually feels awesome, man, and I'm just excited, and I don't think the fans or the organization understands how much it actually meant to me when General Manager O'Day, I know probably went against his gut feeling and was kind of skeptical, you know, due to the injury and all that, and said, you know what, I'm going to give this guy a chance. So I'm just ready to give Saskatchewan every ounce that's in me out there on the field, because what they done was major, and the opportunity that I was given, man, is tremendous to me.
And obviously you're a guy, you know what the receiving talent is like here. It's a young group, so you know you can come in and not only be a contributor but be a mentor and a teacher as well.
Yeah, and that's what it's about, man. If guys look back at my time in BC, those guys that's around me, God blessed me with a way of making folks around me better. They start to gravitate towards the work ethic that I have. And it was like, guys, man, their careers sort of kind of took off. And I'm glad that I can be a mentor for when guys like Nick Moore was on side of me, Courtney Taylor. Then you look at a Brian Burnham that's playing like lights out football, and you know, it was guys I was able to grab them like, look, this is how we're gonna work, this is the expectation, and this is how you want to get things done, just being a pro athlete.
I know that guys like to play their career with one team, and it looked like maybe you were going to do that, but that's not going to happen. Does that matter to you or not? Because you put in 8 solid years in BC, and obviously there's gonna be a lot of people in BC upset that you're gone, but is that just part of the game nowadays, is that guys have to get used to the fact that they're not gonna play their whole career with one team?
Yeah, you know, you gotta be open to change, and sometimes it's good to play all your time with one team, because if you're bouncing around a lot, chances are that's not good. So you want to kind of get that time in with one team, you know, be able to have the community embrace you with open arms, and just do what it is you do on and off the field, being that it's a platform that we have, being able to play pro football. But I was blessed with an opportunity, you know, to play 8 solid seasons over in BC, but I'm excited to come to Saskatchewan. You know, those fans, man, they rowdy. They eat, sleep, you know, rider ball. So just being in that atmosphere, man, you know, I get chills bumped, because the first thing I thought in my head was like, man, the Banjo Bowl, or, man, you know, when they come back to BC, or it's like everyone's sort of kind of a rival game playing in Mosaic Stadium, because it'd be packed and, you know, the fans are into it. So it's just, I'm ready to embrace that Saskatchewan culture, man, and have a taste of that Rider pride and see what it's all about.
Manny Arsenault with me on the Wheaton Kia hotline. Hey, you talked about that. I know there was some talk the other day here about, is Regina still a desired spot for free agents? But there's the new stadium here. There's great facilities here. But some were wondering, when the Riders didn't get some of the big-name free agents, if Regina is still a market that players want to come to. When it came to Regina, and you just talked about it, the fans and a lot of other things, what was the one thing that sort of attracted you to the Riders the most?
Man, that one place has given me hell since 2009. the fans, just the whole atmosphere, and the community buys into football. And you got to think about when a guy's 22, 25, the Montreal, the Vancouver, the Toronto, the nightlife, those kind of things is what draw guys in, is what's outside of the football. But I'm at a point in my career, you know, married with the family. So, you know, it's strictly business football. But when you have those things on the outside, it's kind of like a tourist attraction. And you got guys that come from all walks of life, different parts. So I think that's one of the things that can kind of get people, you know. And that's what it is when you're a young guy, or you can look at traveling across Canada, you know, the things that tourists would like. And I think being in Saskatchewan, once you make that decision to be there, that's what you're there for. I'm there for football. I'm there for the community. I'm basically there to handle business. All that other stuff that you want to get into, that can be done in the off season. So you just got to know for 18 to 20 solid weeks, you're there to be there what you came there for, and that's football.
Hey, I do have to ask you, last year was a year that didn't go well for the Riders' offense. They had a tough time putting the ball in the end zone. Not many receivers caught touchdown passes. Do you even consider that when you're looking at where to sign? Zach Collaros is going to be the quarterback again. He was the quarterback, you know, last year. Stephen McAdoo is still the offensive coordinator. Do you take a look at that when making a decision, or does that really matter because each year is a new year?
You have to look at that, and everyone doesn't have that outstanding season. People didn't see Zach when he was at the top of his game, and they didn't see Zach when he'd been at the lowest point of his game. But it's about finding that sweet spot and that consistent play, because when a guy's healthy, you know he can give you 5,000 to 6,000 yards in a season, or he wouldn't be handed the keys to be labeled a starter in a passing league in the CFL. So it's just all about, man, just blocking out the naysayers and having that confidence. And at that position, you got to be mentally tough. So it's just about how he going to approach it and come into 2019 fighting. And we know what he can do. You know what he can do. The fans know what he can do. So it just comes down to that. But as a receiver, a veteran guy, it's going to take me to have those guys that gravitate towards him. You know, the entire locker room has to buy into him. And I think when a quarterback's comfortable and know people believe in them, they play go up. But if things aren't going right, and you know how the atmosphere can be a little awkward, that messes with a quarterback head, and I think any player. So you just want guys around you that you know that's going to go to bat for you, that's going to ride or die and actually believe in what it is that you're capable of doing.
Manny, many members of Rider Nation are listening to this show right now. It's your first comments as a Rider. What do you say to the fan base?
Man, look, just welcome me with open arms. I'm excited. But once I touch down in Regina, especially just getting out in the community, man, do things with the youth and just be a part of a brand of football that has always been big and amazing. So I'm just another piece of the puzzle, and I'm looking to come in and make plays and just make everyone around me better.
Manny, great having you on board. We'll talk to you soon when you get to Regina.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
31-year-old Emmanuel Arsenault is coming to Regina. We'll kick it around some more. Also coming up here in Hour 2, we'll hear from Jamie Neugebauer in our weekly SJHL trip. You're listening to the Sports Cage. Now time for Pat Chat. Football Friday continues on location, brought to you by Nelson Home, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. Coming up in Hour 3, we'll hear from Canada's NFL insider, Jim Lang. I'm really excited to hear his take on the Denver Broncos picking up Joe Flacco and not signing Bo Levi Mitchell, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Brendan McGuire on location with Bob Krawczyk, and we're listening to Manny Arsenault saying that he was excited to be here, and I mean, he's going to get paid, and you know, he was saying to Mitchell in that interview that he had to look at everything to decide whether or not he was going to sign here, including the offensive schemes, who the quarterback is going to be. I think this was more about keeping Zach happy to come back and be willing to come back to Regina.
Well, you need weapons, and you could talk about production and what happened last year. But if you don't have the players that can play, it's very difficult to obviously attract somebody. So quarterbacks can look and go, who am I going to be throwing to? You know, who am I handing the ball off to? Just from that perspective. So it's important that you get not only good players, but players with experience. It's also tougher when you're, you know, getting new guys. Everyone says, well, you know, recruit a new guy. And that's good. But you also have an issue where they don't know the league that well. They have to work their way in, and that takes time. And while you're experimenting or learning on the fly, it has a tendency maybe not to go so well sometimes. So I think if you can get experienced guys, unfortunately, Manny won't be ready to go for half a season. But that's always helpful.
You're welcome to join in on the conversation through the Prairie Mobile text line. In town, 306-936-6262. Out of town, toll free at 1-866-767-0620. Brought to you by your Sastel authorized dealer. Right now, we go out to the Wheaton Kia hotline and hear from our SJHL insider, Jamie Neugebauer. Noogsy, you're somewhere warm, I trust?
Yeah, I'm in a restaurant in Regina. That's all I'll say. But yeah, I'm somewhere warm.
No game calling in LaRange tonight. I wouldn't want to be in that rink tonight. I think today was the coldest day yet. I'm sure of it because I haven't. Go ahead.
No, I mean I saw a -51 wind chill a bunch of weeks ago. So I don't know about, but maybe without the wind chill, I don't know. It's pretty cold for sure.
Sometimes I think what's on those thermometers is BS because I haven't had a day colder than this one. When the dog is like standing on three legs, you know, you've reached another territory where you really don't want to be. Hey, listen, we were talking off air about how uniforms matter, okay? Because as Ricky Henderson used to say, if you look good, you feel good. If you feel good, you play good. And if you play good, you get paid good and all the rest of it. And the Saskatoon Blades have gone with the retro look. They've got that Pac-Man look. And the intrepid broadcaster out of Edmonton, Kevin Karius, wore his Melville Millionaires jersey on Jersey Day after the unfortunate tragedy that happened with the Humboldt Broncos. And he was wearing like a circa 1987 Melville Millionaires. And it was just a plain blue jersey with a white stripe, you know, that kind of went, I don't know, like across. And it said Melville on it. And I thought, that looks pretty slick. Is there much of that going on in the SJHL these days? Are teams going to the retro look that you know of?
Well, I could tell you that Notre Dame actually has had a couple interesting jerseys this year, especially they had a pretty nice red with armbands. I think the Notre Dame jerseys are really classy. Call me biased if you want. I know the Saskatchewan Rough Riders fans out there, which I'm sure is all your listeners, would know at this point about the third jerseys of the Kindersley Clippers that they had earlier this year, and I know those went off really well and sold really well, and they had another game with the Clippers jerseys or the Riders jerseys on recently. But yeah, no, not too much of the retro look. I know the Estevan Bruins again has a whole bunch of jerseys. Yorkton's been experimental with a bunch of ones. They had a crazy Halloween jersey this year, and I kind of joked around with a player on Yorkton, Colby Brandt, a little bit about that one. I thought it was personally a bit of an eyesore, but I guess there's, you know, a difference of opinion with some people there. The Yorkton Terriers, though, with a great jersey just to go with, to start with. Black jerseys are just, I love them, some fantastic. Not too much retro, maybe outside of the Estevan Bruins so far this year.
I know 1,000 years ago, when I was still broadcasting in the SJHL, it was at least that long ago, the Notre Dame Hounds had players from all over Canada. There were players from Nova Scotia, some from Quebec, some from, I don't know, you name it, BC, whereas the rest of the league, it was mostly guys from Saskatchewan, Manitoba, maybe Alberta. You work with the Notre Dame Hounds. Is that still how it is right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's there's different coaches that kind of have different connections in the world. Definitely, I would say Notre Dame is the one that has players from all over the place more than anybody. Like, the Hounds have a New Brunswicker. They have a Newfoundlander who's absolutely ripping it up, actually, Kyle Robinson. They have a Newfoundlander. They have a couple BC boys. They have a bunch of different Alberta guys. They had an Ontario guy earlier in the year. The list kind of goes on. A couple Quebecois guys. The Flin Flon Bombers have some sort of connection with Quebec. They have about five Quebecois players on their team actually do the Bombers. And, of course, I've mentioned it before on this show, actually, the Estevan Bruins not being too far away from the North Dakota border. You know, seem like they're always bringing in great talent from the North Dakota high school system. Thinking about Michael McChesney right now and TJ Irie. The list kind of goes on for North Dakota-born, you know, guys in Estevan. So, yeah, definitely Notre Dame is the one that has the most, you know, from all over the place just because of the school feeding system situation. But definitely, you know, it's also growing. The world is so small nowadays, YouTube and video, hockey TV, and guys having long, far-ranging camps and that kind of a thing, doing a great job of recruiting hard and building that parity in the league. So, yeah, I think it's, to answer your question briefly, Notre Dame has a lot of guys from a lot of different places, but everybody else is catching up. So,
as we go into the playoffs, it's hard to imagine that we're going into the playoffs just because it's so bloody cold outside, but it's coming quick. Yep. Can you think of a pick that you can give us from the South and maybe one from the North as well?
Oh, boy. Good question to you right there. The North, well, right now, you know, it's hard to maybe put the finger on what the Kindersley Clippers and Clayton Jardine are doing, but they play the game the right way, top to bottom. If you're a hockey purist, if you love watching kind of old school, in your face, physical, you know, stop in front of the net, you know, playoff type hockey, then the Kindersley Clippers are as good a bet as any to go real far. Clayton Jardine has them going the right way and playing the right way. In my opinion, better than Doug Johnson and Nipawin right now. And then the South, I think this will make some people at that station happy to say this, but, you know, the Estevan Bruins are an absolute tear. They had a rough sort of first half of the year, but with Chris Lugo, their head coach, back and focused after the World Junior A Challenge, where he was an assistant to Rick Swann, the head coach of the Bonneville Pontiac, I think the Estevan Bruins, with just a ton of WHL experience, have really turned it on. They got some great young players. Think about Eddie Gallagher and Isaiah Thomas, two guys to really watch. And no connection between Isaiah Thomas and the basketball player, by the way. But so right now my picks are Kindersley and Estevan, but that kind of changes week to week. Humboldt's really on fire. You know, you can't count out Melfort with their weaponry that they have too. So it should be a fantastic playoffs. I'm really excited.
I'm excited for my Bruins. I know they have unfinished business from last year. Hey, listen, we got to run. Stay warm. Take the weekend off, okay?
I can't do that. Back at it tomorrow night. Got a call. Flynn Flon is in town in Wilcox, so it should be a good one. The Bombers and the Hounds, it's always a crazy, crazy one. It has been up north in Flynn Flon whenever they get together, and it's going to be fun in Wilcox tomorrow night as well.
Probably not too many moose legs in Wilcox like they do in Flynn Flon. Have a great weekend, Jamie.
Thanks, boys. Take care.
All right. That is Jamie Neugebauer, our SJHL insider, joining us here on the Wheaton Kia Hotline this February. Get the new Forte for only $12.9 during their Month of Love event. Brendan McGuire and Bob Krawczyk live on location down at the Brandt Center at Evraz Place. We're about an hour and 20 minutes away from opening puck drop tonight between the Regina Pats and the Edmonton Oil Kings. The Pats actually kind of a quirk in the schedule. They're doing a home-and-home with the Edmonton Oil Kings. That doesn't happen very often. They finished up a four-game road trip last weekend, and then they start, well, it's not really a homestand because they play again tomorrow night in Moose Jaw, another game that we'll have for you live here on 620 CKRM. We were hearing from Scruffy a little bit before with our guest Manny Arsenault from Texas. He sounded pretty excited about coming to Regina. Obviously, he hasn't been to Regina
in February. I was going to say, he doesn't know what the weather is here today or been for the last 2-3 weeks.
I'm trying to think of a time or a player who's been signed when you know, like to a new team. I've seen players re-signed with an existing team, but to a new team when you know that you're not going to play for half a season. I just can't come up with it in my head.
If it's happened before, it's very rare. That's an interesting way of looking at things. Get him. But we got to wait a half year.
And they got to pay his salary, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, I don't think they're worried about paying because they'll just six-game him, so it's not going to count against the cap, so that won't be a problem there. But I can't think of any examples where somebody's been signed from another team where they've gone and started the year being injured.
Quarterbacks love to have a good running back because they don't take such a big beating. I'll give you a good example. I watch a lot of NFL. I think you've been in NFL pools. I think we've been in the same NFL pool.
I watch a lot of it. That's every Sunday in the fall.
J.C. Garden kicked me out of it because I wasn't participating. It wasn't enough fun for all the other guys.
That's the draft.
Because I wasn't paying any attention. Because it was just too complicated for me. I have a simple mind. I can't follow all these free agent stats.
Oh, transactions, waiver wire.
But I almost wonder, I keep hammering on the fact that they needed to bring weapons in to sell Zach on the future and on this plan. I almost think the signing of William Powell has as much to do with that as anything. In the NFL, Mike Martz, when he was running that offense for the St. Louis Rams, the greatest show on turf, Kurt Warner was amazing for like 3 years. Then he pretty well disappeared. Mark Bulger was, I don't want to use the word amazing, but he was pretty good for a couple of years, and then he just disappeared. And the thought process that I hear from football, people actually know a thing or two about football, of course, something which we know almost nothing about, is that quarterbacks in his systems were getting throttled because they didn't have a running game. And because it was just pass, and, you know, they'd pin their ears back and come at him. And I almost wonder if that maybe played a part with Zach and his discussions with the front office before signing the extension.
Well, I don't know how much Zach had to, you know, see what was going to be here. Because after everything that happened on day one of free agency, I mean, the musical game of musical chairs with quarterbacks, well, when the music stopped, how many spots were there actually for him to have an opportunity to go to?
And would the Riders have even wanted him if they had been able to land any?
Having landed somebody else, Bo Levi Mitchell. But it's important for teams to be able to run and pass the football. And that's why running games are important. I mean, Chris Jones, that's what he wanted. He wanted a game that you can control on the ground, play good defense, quarterbacks don't turn the ball over. Defensive coordinators, and I remember from covering the Riders when Richie Hall was here, he goes, we always want to make the other team one-dimensional. And whether that's forcing them to pass or forcing them to run, you always want to just have one area that you have to concern yourself with. So if a team has a good running back, then that opens up the passing game. And teams then have to obviously respect that. If you stop the run or a team doesn't have a good running game, well, then your defensive linemen are just teeing off all day. And that's when quarterbacks get hurt.
Yeah, and they start getting knocked around, and that's just not a system that Zach can be in,
no.
Given the circumstances. You're welcome to join in on the conversation on the Prairie Mobile text line, 306-936-6262. Of course, out of town, toll-free at 1-866-767-0620. We'll have some NFL talk in Hour 3 with Jumbo Jim Lang, who's going to talk about the news around the National Football League. Will kick around some more Rider talk here. It's a Nelson Holmes Football Friday here on The Source, 620 CKRM. Time for the RMP Sports Ticker. Lots of free agent news out of the CFL all week, and today it was the Riders' turn to announce the signing of two-time All-Star Manny Arsenault. It's a one-year contract. He's probably going to miss half the season while he rehabs that torn ACL. At least that's what's being reported by Three Down Nation. In the Canadian Football League, also, the news, Naaman Roosevelt will be back with the Rough Riders in 2019 as well. I think that's probably bigger news because you might actually get him for a full season. And they've also re-upped with kicker Brett Lowther, who is now signed through 2020. So two more years of Brett Lowther wearing the green and light. We're live on location at the Brandt Center where the Regina Pats will host the Edmonton Oil Kings. Phil Andrews and Jared Dumble will have it for you here on 620 CKRM just after 6:35 this evening. The RMP Sports Ticker for Regina Motor Products, the 2018 truck clear out is on now, but only until February 28th at RMP. Brennan McGuire and Bob Krawczyk live on location down at the Brandt Center. We've got Zinger News behind the glass, and we're going to take a call, and I think it's a friend of Scruffy and Bob's, Tom from Grand Prairie. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing well. Is it minus 50 up there, too, with the wind chill?
Oh, man, it's been 2 weeks of hell, to tell you the truth. But
sounds like you're in Regina.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're down here at the Brandt Center. It's cold down.
Yeah, there's
in that
wind
one
chill
quarter.
In here today.
Drafty.
A little bit of wind chill?
In the
yeah.
in the Brandt Center, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's you can't get away from it. It's like when we played when Bob and I played flag football in university for Sheps. It was we played in some nasty stuff, and yeah.
So that was what
figure
50
out who
years
I am
ago?
Yet, Bob.
Oh, I know exactly. No, I said Tom from Grand Prairie. I'm going, who could that possibly be?
Bob doesn't like football. This is 50 years ago?
80s.
Oh, yeah.
The 80s.
I'm doing great, Bob, and it's great to hear your voice again. And it's, yeah, Bob and I went to radio school together, too, at WABC. Yep. And, he went on to bigger and better things, and I went on to smaller and lesser things. So.
Story yes. of my life. Hey, did you have a comment or a question, or did you just want to do a love-in with Bob?
No, you know, that's enough of that. But
we don't need to go down memory lane too much here.
Well, half of it we can't remember if I remember right. But too many keg parties and such.
Oh,
but,
too much of a lot of things, yes.
Is Tom a Ryder fan?
You know,
oh, yeah. Tom's from Kenora originally.
Sitting back and looking at what's been happening, you know, with the Riders a little bit. And I think, you know, I mean, I'm like a lot of people. I think it's too early to panic. There's going to be, it's interesting to see who else they'll be signing in the next few days. And it's even more entertaining to see some of the fans jumping off the bandwagon and looking for, you know, I'm glad that, you know, the province doesn't have a lot of really tall buildings and a lot of bridges, you know. It's you got to relax a little bit and let the situation play out, because it's a long way to go, and there's a lot of players out there to find, and not only players that are free agents in the league, but players that are, you know, south of the border that nobody's heard of. And you know, we'll let it play out and see where it goes, but it has been an entertaining couple of days for sure.
Okay, well, thanks for the call, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But that is Tom from Grand Prairie. Bob,
great talking to you again, Tommy.
Old chum.
You betcha, Bobby. We'll talk to you soon.
Take care.
From back when,
I think
of flag football in the 80s.
When
what
I
that
was
like.
Young and had a future.
Nauseating visual that came up there. Tom's fine with Zach at quarterback by the sounds of things, and, he's the only option that we have.
I like Jeremy O'Day's line. You don't win the Grey Cup in February. There's a long way to go, and even look what the Riders have done the last few days with Naaman Roosevelt, A.C. Leonard, Brett Lothar's back. You know, Manny Arsenault, hopefully when he's ready to roll. These are things that help the team, so just because you don't make big splash signings doesn't mean you won't have a good football team.
Kind of like in the NHL, nobody wins in free agency. That's There's exactly. always a big splash, and, you know, half those contracts are a disaster anyways. All right, it's been fun. You're going to blow out of here.
It's been nice seeing you again, Brandon.
You too. This has been fun. All right, Bob Krawczyk is about to vacate the premises, or maybe stick around for the game. We'll see
you, Bob.
And Zinger says, see you, Bob. And
Zinger, see you. Have a good weekend.
Best in the business, Behind the Glass, Zinger News. Coming up in Hour 3, we're going to hear from Clubber Jim Lang about the NFL moves that have been happening in the last week. It is a Football Friday, brought to you by Nelson Holmes, here on The Source, Rider Radio, 620 CKRM. We're really rolling, now we're on our way. Our ride is showing, yeah, it's growing. The Sports Cage Twitter feed brought to you by Molson Bohemian, a smooth, delicious tasting beer with a rich Saskatchewan history, available in 12 or 24 cans, cases. Please enjoy their product responsibly. Brendan McGuire here in Hour 3, live on location at the Brandt Center, ahead of tonight's Pats game against the Edmonton Oil Kings. We'll have that game live for you here on the almighty 620 CKRM. It's hashtag WHL Suits Up Night with Don Cherry to promote organ donation at tonight's home game against the Oil Kings. The Pats are wearing their special Don Cherry suit uniforms. I've seen a few people lurking around the building wearing them already. Haven't really seen any plaid. It's more just straight white or straight red. And they've got those little, I don't know what you call them, doilies. They're on that 70s show. You got to help me with this, Singer. You'll have to come up with exactly what they call that. But anyways, those jerseys will be auctioned off here at the game in support of the Kidney Foundation. Don Cherry will not be in attendance. He was in Swift Current earlier this week, and I think Don has that rule that he doesn't come to Saskatchewan more than once a winter, and with the minus 40 wind chills, minus 50 wind chills in some case that we've been dealing with, who can blame him? Right now we go out to the Wheaton Kia hotline, where I'm sure it's a lot warmer than it is in the 306. We go to Toronto and visit with Canada's NFL insider, Jim Lang. What's the temperature in Toronto today, Jim?
That's a great question. It is -3 with a wind chill of -10.
Oh.
And we've been bitterly complaining about our temperatures for weeks here in the GTA.
You would. Well, at least they haven't brought the Army in, so.
No, well, hey, don't laugh. We get about 25 centimeters of snow. I mean, they might be rolling down from Petawawa any moment now.
So Colin Kaepernick settles his grievance with the NFL. What can you tell us? I mean, does this matter? Was this a situation where there was just a land of diminishing returns in this fight with the National Football League?
Now, there are a couple of unconfirmed reports that the NFL paid Colin Kaepernick between $60 and $80 million. Now, of course, they can't reveal the exact figure because of confidentiality rules, but that's a significant sum of money. And if you were Colin Kaepernick's lawyer, you had a slam dunk case if you went into court. Brendan, all you have to do is look at the quarterbacks they signed this year and kept passing over Colin Kaepernick. There were some guys who had been retired and were selling insurance for the last couple of years and all of a sudden got signed by teams. So basically everyone and their dog who had thrown a football in the last 5 years was getting signed as a backup quarterback for the injury replacement in the NFL, and Colin Kaepernick got passed over again and again and again. And I think at the end of the day, Kaepernick's attorneys looked at the NFL and the arbitration, you know, people filing the grievances, the arbitrators, and said, look at the evidence. And I don't think the NFL had much of a choice but to settle out of court and give Kaepernick the money, because they colluded across the league, all teams, to not sign him. And no matter what, no matter how bad it got, no matter how many injuries, no matter how bottom of the barrel they would scrape to sign other quarterbacks, they refused to sign Colin Kaepernick.
I've always had the impression that he was radioactive waste for any NFL team to sign, even if they wanted to sign him, even if they agreed with his political views, for the simple point that it would divide their own fan base. Is that where we still are today with Colin Kaepernick and any hope he has of ever landing another NFL contract?
You know, I mean, I understand some people think that. But the NFL is a bottom-line business. And you look at some of the teams in the National Football League this year and the long-suffering fan bases and how much it rips your guts out to see your team lose game after game. And you've got this backup and that backup, and you're losing game after game. And they are trotting out these quarterbacks that you've never heard of, and they can't complete a 10-yard pass. And you're like, well, wait a sec. I don't care if he takes a knee in the anthem. I just want to win a football game. I want my team to be competitive and not embarrass me. And teams got to the point where they would rather sign some hopeless person, hopeless quarterback, who really has the minimal skill at best, and throw them out there than sign Colin Kaepernick. That's an insult to the fans of those teams that were losing game after game. I mean, the Washington Redskins are Exhibit A. They were actually a decent team until Alex Smith got hurt, and they started trotting out quarterbacks. I mean, they were digging guys up from the ground instead of signing Colin Kaepernick. And if you're a Redskins fan, you're like, we went 7-9 with a dog's breakfast of backup quarterbacks, and at 9-7, we would have made the playoffs because that's what the Eagles did. That's an insult to those fans.
Canada's NFL expert Jim Lang joins us on the Wheaton Kia Hotline. All guests appearing, brought to you by Wheaton Kia this February. Get the new Forte for only $12.99 during their Month of Love event. Okay, I'm a big Denver Broncos fan, so I've been waiting all afternoon to talk to you about this. Joe Flacco, I love the move. I guess maybe I didn't pay enough attention to the Baltimore Ravens and why he got demoted, why they brought up Lamar Jackson ahead of him. I think the guy's still got something left in the tank. What do you think?
It's a low-risk move by John Elway and the Baltimore Ravens, the Denver Broncos now. I mean, the problem is for the Broncos, they went through the Tim Tebow magic. They won that playoff game. And then John Elway and management said, no, we're not going with Tim Tebow. They ended up with Peyton Manning, but by the time Peyton Manning got to Denver, his body was shot. He was a shell of his former self. And then since then, they've gone through quarterback after quarterback. I mean, it's Cleveland Brown-esque how many quarterbacks they have rolled through Denver.
Hey,
which is
easy how you talk about my Broncos. Cleveland
well,
Browns.
I mean,
that's the ultimate. That's the ultimate insult.
But, so if you bring in Joe Flacco for the fourth round pick they gave up for him, and he is semi-competitive and semi-responsible for the football, and can distribute it to their playmakers, and they can sustain some drives and be a semi-decent offense to go with their defense, then the Broncos are in good shape. I mean, they didn't give up a lot to get him. It's a gamble. It could work. It could blow up in their face, but with recent history with the Broncos and some of the quarterbacks, they've made a lot of mistakes picking quarterbacks and giving guys contracts, so they can't do any worse than bringing Flacco in there.
Are you surprised at all that the Denver Broncos, who appear to be the front runner for Bo Levi Mitchell's services, didn't take a flyer on him? I mean, really, you think about it, he signed for $750,000 Canadian. You do the conversion to U.S. dollars. It's not much different than the league minimum down there. I think it's $550 American. I could be wrong on that, but it's pretty close to the same. I mean, are you not surprised that somebody in the NFL, the Denver Broncos or another team, didn't just say, here, let's just guarantee this for 1 year and see what the guy has?
I totally agree. I mean, right now the Denver Broncos have Case Keenum and Chad Kelly as their 1-2 quarterbacks, and now you're bringing in Joe Flacco. You cannot tell me that Chad Kelly is a better quarterback than Bo Levi Mitchell. There's no way.
And not a chance.
In the NFL, there's no, right. And every team in the NFL, you can go down their depth chart at backup quarterback and go, this guy, he's nowhere near as good as Bo Levi Mitchell. So for Bo Levi Mitchell, the decision, he likes the city, likes the league, know what he's in for. He's getting paid good money for the next few years. That's not a question. And he doesn't have to worry about being jacked around with some of the politics of the National Football League. But from an NFL team standpoint, this would have been, again, a low-risk move. You bring him in. You don't bring him in as a number one. You bring him in as a backup and see how he fares. And if he does well, you're not paying him huge money. So it's not counting huge against your cap. So it would have been made too much sense. So I mean, I don't get it. I mean, unless some of these teams are thinking, I'm going to get Kyler Murray from Oklahoma and he's going to solve my problems, or somebody else in the draft. But a guy like Bo Levi Mitchell would have looked good in a lot of teams in the National Football League. It would have looked good in Washington with the Redskins. I mean, Alex Smith is a long way from even being able to work out and run, let alone play quarterback. I mean, there's a lot of teams that have questions at quarterback that should have brought him in and given him a legitimate look.
Yeah, how does Chad Kelly get a chance, but Colin Kaepernick and Bo Levi Mitchell or even Mike Riley don't? Figure that one out, hey?
Well, and then that goes to what we said before. That's why Kaepernick's attorneys look at the list of some of these backup quarterbacks. Colin Kaepernick led his team to the Super Bowl, and his last year as a starter, he had a 16 touchdown to 4 interception ratio, and he can't get a job? So that's why they had to pay him.
Yeah, and I remember his agent opted out for free agency because they were just certain he was going to get paid, and everything went sideways. One story that I noticed, too, Brandon Marshall, star linebacker for the Broncos, he's not going to have his option exercised, so he's going to become an unrestricted free agent here in about a month's time. I'm wondering if we should correlate the fact that now the Broncos are going to be on the hook for some money to Joe Flacco. They're going to be on the hook, I'm sure, for some guaranteed money still to Case Keenum.
They are, 100%.
So if this doesn't work out, I mean, number one, I'm wondering, should we not see Brandon Marshall leaving as a direct correlation to this move? And if this goes sideways, to me, that'll be John Elway's biggest mistake.
John Elway's made a lot of them. I mean, John Elway as a quarterback was you know, he's one of the best of his generation. But as an executive, he's made a lot of mistakes. And I agree. I mean, some team's going to pick up Marshall, and he's going to slot it into their defense, and he's going to be very productive, and they're going to have a good year. And then the Broncos are going to go, you know, we could have used him. There's going to be a lot of games where Broncos management and Broncos players and Broncos fans are going, you know, we missed him. We really missed him at this game.
Is there a free agent who jumps out at you? I mean, we've been talking so much free agency in the Canadian Football League. This has been kind of the week one of the free agent frenzy, and, you know, that happens about a month later in the National Football League. Is there one name that jumps out at you?
Well, it's Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown is a 100-catcher-year receiver. I mean, he's still an elite player.
Not just for the fantasy guys? You mean legit? Like, not just
no,
not
no,
just
yeah,
the best
no, no,
fantasy
like he,
guy?
No, this is not just legit. Antonio Brown is a game-changing wide receiver. A tall, long arms, deep threat, can run good patterns. He's a home run hitter as a receiver. He's capable of taking any pass and taking it for a touchdown at any time he touches the ball. So if I'm a team that needs a legit deep threat and to build and go vertical, I'm pushing my chips all in on Antonio Brown. And, I mean, whatever problems they're having with the Steelers, and I know that Steelers management are trying to have a sit-down with him to smooth things over, but if it doesn't happen and he becomes available, of all the receivers that you could get around the NFL that's available, there's no question that Antonio Brown's someone I would want on my team, without question.
What about Le'Veon Bell? You know, I've kind of lost touch with what was happening there. How are we expecting that to play out, or does anybody know how that's going to play out?
That's in limbo right now. No, it really is. The combine starts in, about 8 days from now. Right at the end of February, teams gather in Indianapolis every year for the combine, and then you have the free agency starts into March as they start marching towards the draft and getting ready for that. So, I mean, again, that's one of those situations that he is still a top-flight running back, and can the Steelers and Le'Veon Bell and his agent smooth things over and come to agreement? Because if not, then he's another player that would get a lot of interest in the open market. I think Antonio Brown would get more because receivers of that quality and that caliber are worth their weight in gold across the NFL now because they pass so much. But Le'Veon Bell would draw a lot of interest. Of course he would. He's still an effective top-end offensive player.
I would love for my Broncos to take a run at either one of those weapons, but of course they keep spending all their money on washed up quarterbacks.
Well,
hey, listen.
Talk to your buddy John Elway.
I feel wiser for the chat as always, and I'll be praying for you folks in the six that it doesn't get all the way down to -5. You have a
Are
great weekend.
It was -15 the other day. Stop making fun of us.
That is Jim Lang, our NFL insider. See ya. Have a great weekend, Jim.
You too. Bye bye.
All right. And of course, all guests appearing on the Wheat and Kia Hotline, brought to you by Wheat and Kia this February. Get the new Forte for only $12.99 during their Month of Love event. Hour 3 continues. It's a Nelson Holmes Football Friday on the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. Final segment of the Football Friday Sports Cage presented by Nelson Holmes. Brendan McGuire live on location down at the Brandt Center. We're just a little over a half hour's time from puck drop between the Pats and the Oil Kings. These two teams finish up the Pats Alberta Road Swing. Right now, we go out to the Prairie Mobile text line. We have a call from Taylor in Regina. Taylor, how are you?
Good. How's it going, man?
I'm doing well, staying warm. It's a little drafty here where they have me set up, but they finally shut that garage door. What's on your mind?
I just thought, you know, since we signed Manny Arsenal today, I just want to know what you guys think about one. I know one, but people want to bring back is Dressler. About a guy like Chris Williams, too?
Good question. I mean, Chris Williams is really, I mean, if you think Manny Arsenal is damaged goods, Chris Williams is really damaged goods. He's had a few operations, I think, and I mean, how old is Chris Williams now? He's got to be 31. Yeah, he'll be 32 this season. So I'm going to say no to Chris Williams, but that's just my thoughts. Zinger,
I don't
you
know.
Might feel differently.
Yeah,
about
I don't
it.
Know, Taylor. I think I don't know how many, like as Brendan's saying, damaged goods receivers you can bring in when you got a young guy like Mitchell Pickton, who's an up and coming receiver. I think I'd rather just throw him in there and get him acclimated to the pro game rather than keep bringing in these guys that have been in the league for forever and that have had a history of injuries. I think it's time for a new era. It's time to start fresh. It's time to get that next Weston Dressler, if you will, in Mitch Pickton, I think, although they're different receivers.
Yeah.
Now what Weston, who I know, in fact, will be in my hometown of Kipling, Saskatchewan, at the Kipling Winthorst Oil Kings Sportsman's Dinner coming up in, I want to say, April. Just thought I'd throw that out there for them. But Weston is going to be 34 this summer. Now, I guess maybe I'm the wrong guy to ask because I never predicted Weston would have much of a career in the CFL to begin with. I thought that he was undersized, he'd be good on kick returns, he might last 2 or 3 years, and boy, did I end up with a lot of egg on my face with the way things have turned out. I'm not sure he's going to be a big difference maker for you either. It seemed to me like Paul LaPolice was always the guy with the magic touch who knew exactly how to use Weston, and I think he's that kind of a player who needs to be in that type of a system, and if you don't have LaPolice, I'm not sure that Weston is the Weston Dressler that we got to know and love. Zinger, any thoughts on Weston?
Like I was saying, I think rather than, I know it's like maybe a long shot, but I think Mitch Pickton, I would try to give him a starting, at least a much.
You're just trying to pull some strings for your buddy. That's all you're thinking.
It's better than bringing in a guy that's been, injured for how many, like he's
damaged goods.
And like, man, this is a new era. Why do we like, yes, nostalgia is good in that, but like, this is a new era, Rough Rider football. We can't keep living in the past. We got to give the guys on the roster and the young guys up and coming. If it's not Mitch Pickton, then another young guy, you know, like we can't keep thinking about these old guys. Like that football doesn't work that way. It's a young man's game.
All right. Okay. I got one more question for you guys.
All right.
What about bringing back an old linebacker that we used to have of Jeff Knox Jr.?
Yeah, I could see that. I think the problem was last year, they just didn't have a spot for him. I'd be open to that. I think that he would certainly help their run-stopping game. I mean, he was really good from that standpoint in terms of limiting the yardage that they would give up along the ground. Thanks for the call, Taylor.
All right.
And
see you, buddy.
And that wouldn't bother me at all. I think that the schemes are interchangeable enough that you could fit him in if he could be had for the right price. So I think, you know, we took the long way around. We're saying no to Chris Williams. We're saying no to Weston Dressler. But Jeff Knox Jr., I'd be fine with Knox. We could live with that. Brandt Center starting to fill up here.
Where are you sitting, by the way?
Where
are you located?
They have us set up over on the Northwest Concourse. The West Concourse, north side.
So that's the opposite side of Mosaic Stadium, correct?
Yes. Okay. That's right.
So Louvain side.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
My directions get all screwed up when I get on the property, but I've always said, and I still hope, that if they do anything with this building, that they do it like here. I don't like this idea of building another one downtown. If you go anywhere in the United States into any of the big centers, like, well, it's happening now in Minnesota, in Philadelphia, they've all got one big complex. I think that's the key.
Philadelphia,
so if they do,
has a huge one.
So
I was there in the summertime. They got the baseball stadium beside, they have Citizens Bank Park beside Lincoln Financial Field.
It's all
Field,
one. Everybody parks
Wells
in one
Fargo
spot.
Center. Yeah, it's all there, man. It's wow.
Yeah, so I love the concept. And now that we have the Ryder Stadium here, I would hate to see them screw that up. So if they get a new stadium, I hope it's in this location, but
it definitely looks better too. Of like overhead shots when they show it on TV, like when you have like a football stadium and then like a hockey rink beside it, it just looks way cooler, man. That's my
just
opinion.
Like uniforms, the overhead like, shots matter.
Oh, don't get me started on uniforms. We only have 30 seconds left here, but yeah,
we survived again. Can you believe it?
Hey man, it's the weekend time.
I didn't even plug the meter today because I knew that the meter maids wouldn't have the heart
they're
to
still,
give me a ticket.
They're still in bed, sleeping.
I don't think any of the meters are working, but
that's
anyways.
True. All right, that was a good show, man. Yeah. So we got the Pats. I think I might maybe check that out. We'll see. Pats Oil Kings.
Next few minutes, we'll have Jared Dumba and Phil the Thrill Andrews bringing you some Friday Night Hockey from the Brandt Center, and there will be another broadcast on CKRM tomorrow night. You've been listening to The Sports Cage, a presentation of Nelson Homes on 620 CKRM.